This gospel story that we heard is the very first post-resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples, to the complete, almost complete band of his closest collaborators. And because it is the very first one, we have to look at the fine details of the story in order for us to truly understand what was going on in here. We were told that this happened on the first day of the week, meaning on Sunday, on the Sunday of his resurrection. When the disciples found themselves locked up because of fear. It's interesting that the very first appearance of Jesus to his closest collaborators, the atmosphere that permeated was that of fear. And not just fear of the Jewish authorities. Yes, they were fearful of their lives, so they locked themselves up because they thought that if they would be identified as the closest collaborators of Christ, that they would be apprehended to and put into trial, and therefore condemned to death just like Jesus. So, yes, they were fearful of the Jewish authorities. But also, there were other fears that were happening in their hearts. The second fear that we could identify here is the fear of Jesus. It's like, what? They were fearful of Christ? How will that happen? Or how did it happen? Well, they were fearful of Jesus because they did not know how to confront this new reality if Christ indeed resurrect from the dead. They were already informed by Mary Magdalene that Christ resurrected, but some of them were still very skeptical of the resurrection. They were not convinced of it. So in their minds, they were like, how will I explain to Jesus my betrayal of him? If Christ indeed resurrect from the dead, what face could I even show to Jesus? Talk about Peter. You know, Peter, in this conundrum, how can I explain my betrayal for Christ? How can I even explain this to him? So they were fearful of Jesus. But also, they were fearful of themselves. And what do I mean by this? If Christ indeed resurrect from the dead, what does this new reality demand of me? Do I have what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus in this new reality? We just abandoned him a few days ago. We just denied him a few days ago. Now we're even locking ourselves up. If this resurrection is indeed true, do we have the strength? Do we have the faithfulness that this new reality requires of us? They were fearful of their own weaknesses. They were fearful of themselves. So there were different levels of fears going on in the minds and hearts of the disciple. And it is in this atmosphere of fear that Jesus broke open and appeared to them and said, peace be with you. It's interesting, Jesus really knew what was going on in their hearts. So the very first words of Jesus were words of reconciliation, words of forgiveness, words of friendship. If I were Jesus, the first thing that I'm going to do is to have a serious come-to-Jesus meeting. I'm going to have a sign-up. I want you guys in my office. And these are the available times. I want to have I come to Jesus' meeting with my closest collaborators. But this was not the attitude of Christ. The very first words from the mouth of Jesus, the words of reconciliation, words of peace. Peace strong enough for them to be convinced that they don't have to be fearful of their lives. That God's providence and God's protection will be before them, after them, and alongside of them. Peace powerful enough to realize that I don't come here to asking for your explanation or justification of your betrayal, but rather I come here to bring you peace that will restore and deepen our friendship once again. I come here to give you the peace to realize that you can all start picking up your fragmented selves in order for you to be whole again and to believe in yourself and what you're capable of, not just to be enslaved by your own weaknesses. Peace powerful enough for you to be restored whole once again. And how did Jesus transform this fear, this fearful atmosphere that permeated the disciples? By showing first his nail marks. We were told that he showed his hands and his side. It's like, what? Is that how Jesus transformed the fears of the disciples? Same thing with Thomas. Jesus eliminated the doubt and the fear of Thomas by allowing Thomas to touch his side and his wounds. I've mentioned this before, that resurrection can only happen, new life can only happen, if we are able to touch our wounds and the wounds of other people. We don't like to touch wounds. I don't like wounds, unless you're a doctor or a nurse. Wounds repel us normally. They're smelly, they're bloody. And the same thing too with wounded people. You know, how many times do we tend to avoid wounded people because we don't want to hang out with them? We don't want drama. But it is only by touching our own wounds and the wounds of others that new life emerges, resurrection emerges. During this time of pandemic, a good friend of mine was talking with me, and because of their companies, him and his wife, they were asked to work from home. And before the pandemic, their marriage was already in the brink of collapse. They were not talking very well, but they were so good in avoiding each other. Because when the wife is at home, he will go to the gym just to avoid her. And then there was lack of communication. So they could hang out separately, and they go home and take care of the kids and that. But they were not really talking. Communication was really, really bad. And suddenly, this pandemic happened, and they had no other choice but to talk to each other because they had to work from home. And the atmosphere was just so awkward. And then Mike said, I couldn't take this anymore. I couldn't take this any longer. So he called me up, and he said, what should I do? I said, why don't you talk to her and just tell her what's going on? And I said, you have to touch the wounds of your marriage and recognize what's going on in order for you guys to come out of it refreshed and renewed. And finally, he took the courage to talk. And they knew that their problem was beyond their own capacity, so they decided to ask for help, professional help. And thanks be to God, because they took the courage to touch their own wounds and be honest about their own wounds, that now their marriage is starting to flourish. But they had to touch their wounds first. You know, how many times people I've experienced in the sacrament of confession finally said, "Oh, Father, this feels so great after so many years of avoiding this sin and burying this sin. I could finally confess it, and this is the most amazing feeling." Because for many years, that person has been avoiding to touch that particular wound, just putting band-aid after band-aid, but the hurt and the pain is still underneath, fresh. And only when that person is able to touch his or her wound, that true resurrection happens, new life happens. Most of the times, the wounds that we avoid in people are the wounds that we struggle in one way or another. I should not say this as a general thing, but it happens. You know, I avoid the wounds in people because it necessarily compels me to look at the wounds in myself. I am not comfortable in looking at my own wounds, so I avoid the wounds of people, locking myself up like the disciples in the gospel today. But I cannot lock myself up if I want to have new life. We can't lock ourselves if we want to know new life and resurrection in Jesus. One of the interesting things about this new body of Jesus is that his resurrected body is not flawless. You know, he could pass through walls. That's great. It's very helpful, especially if you lose your keys a lot. I would love that. Sometimes it takes me forever to find my keys. But his resurrected body is not necessarily perfect. I would think that if he resurrect, his new body would be flawless without those wounds, without those lesions. But his resurrected body still has wounds. And why is that? To tell us that after his resurrection, he did not say, "I'm done with you guys. I did my job. I redeemed you. Take care of yourself. Goodbye and good luck." No, he did not say that. Even in his resurrected body, he still carries our wounds. Divine solidarity, even after his crucifixion and resurrection. That's how God loves us. That's what divine mercy is all about. Divine mercy is not just, "Okay, I forgive you right now, go on with your life." No, divine mercy is the abiding presence and solidarity of God in the messiness of our own life. That's what divine mercy is. What is divinity? Divinity is eternity. What is mercy? God's love and his compassion. It doesn't stop. That's why even in his resurrected body, he still bears our wounds. What are still the things that lock you up right now at the moment? What are the things that still imprisons you? Guys, the Lord has risen. Resurrect with him. Resurrect with him. New life. new life. And he comes to us offering a renewed friendship.